tell me about the Olufsens and okay. their fur farm, because that was on 4th.
That's right. Now, before the Olufsens came, there was a Nimlander family there.
Okay.
Now, they were Finnish, both of them. And they started the mink ranch there.
Do you know when they started it?
No, I don't. But I don't know when they started it, but it would have been in the early 40s because they had a daughter, and she was younger than I. And, you know, at that time, the grade 1s and 2s got out at 2:30. And so she would be home before me. But what happened was her dad worked somewhere in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. And I can remember the pickup truck he had. And he would bring her in the morning to our place, and she would stay there until it was time to go to school, and then we would go to school together. But on the way home, she was out earlier, so she walked home to our place, okay. and then she waited for him to pick her up and take her up the hill. Now, they had, I don't know how many mink, but I know we were there, and we used to get to see some of the mink, but we weren't allowed to go around there and make a noise or anything like that. That just was out of the question. Well, Nimlander's brother, he came, and his name was Raffle. We called him Raffle. It was probably Ralph, but we called him Raffle. And this young girl, Greta and I, we were in love with him. He was just our special. Anyway, then when he got married, we were so disappointed. We felt really jilted. But he looked after the mink there because, oh, Gunnar was the brother. He was the one that owned it, I think. Well, maybe they both owned it. I'm not sure. But the Nimlander brothers, they had it. And then it was sold to Olufsen's. Right. And they carried on from there.
And you went to babysit Maureen and her sister?
Yes, I did. I don't remember too much about that. She could probably tell you more than I can about that.
Actually, when you would go up the mountain to babysit, you would often come home in the dark.
Yeah, I'd walk. I'm sure that's... Mr. Olufsen probably brought me back. I don't know. That's usually what happened when I went babysitting. It was late.
Oh, they would drive
me
home.
They would drive me home or walk me home or whatever. Yeah. Right. I didn't go home by myself. But
do you remember what the mink farm looked like?
I don't remember too much about that, but I know the house was on sort of on one corner on on the property. It would have been on the south... east corner of the property, because this was on the east side of Melba or 4th Avenue. And then there was a space somehow, and then these mink, I don't know what you call them.
Were they long sheds?
Or? Yes, they were. And then there was like cages for them all along there. And it seems to me that they had some mink there that we could look at. And then the rest, we weren't allowed to go anywhere near. It seems to me that was it, because I know we saw some of the mink. But, you know, the mink were scared of us. And we didn't want to be too near them because we knew that they would bite us if we put our fingers anywhere near. Yeah. But it seems to me it was maybe a smaller house or something. I'm not too sure. Maureen would have to tell you that. Yes. She probably did tell you, did she?
She did a bit, yes. So did anyone live further down 4th Avenue from their place? That was
not
that was the
that
end
I know
of the road.
I don't think it went to to Hastings.
Okay.
But I was telling you about the house, Bigginson's house.
Yes, yes.
Where Barry Clark lived.
Barry Jones.
Jones, I'm sorry. I keep calling him Clark. But that, sort of at the end of...
That would have been on 8th.
Yeah.
Which is now Centennial Way.
Right. And it's on Hastings.
Oh, so his house was on Hastings.
It's okay. On Hastings.
And the corner of 8th.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's still there. And
yes.
Barry still lives there, you told me. That's wonderful. But this couple was named Bigginson. And they both worked in Vancouver. And they used to walk that hill every night. Now, they had to walk from Capitol Hill.
Oh, because that was the end of the line.
That was the end of the line. Everybody had to go to Capitol Hill to get on a streetcar. And they would walk that hill every night. And I can't remember what they did, whether they worked in a hotel business or just what it was. But I can remember those two in the summertime walking up that hill at night. So, you know, that was quite the thing.
Yes.
And, you know, there were bears, deer.
Were you afraid of the bear?
Well, I can't say I actually ever saw a bear. They didn't come down that far.
Okay.
But they came. They went down the other side of the mountain because of the Harry's property where the... where the apples were. But we had deer in our garden. They loved to nip off the rosebuds and the fuchsias. My neighbor and I had deer in the 80s in the yard nipping.
Oh. Yeah,
so, you know, they were around. And you used to see them when you drove up Gullardy Way. They would be on the road there sometimes, so you had to be careful. I think at one time there was a sign, beware of deer. And there was also when the university started, a professor and a couple of his students came down one day and asked if they could pick the apples that we had that were on the ground. We had a beautiful... yellow delicious apple tree there, and this year it was just absolutely loaded. Nobody could, you know, you couldn't put a finger in between. There were so many apples on this tree, and so of course a lot of them fell off. Well, obviously they were looking for stuff, so they came by and they asked my mom if they could have those apples, just the ones on the ground, that's all they wanted, because they had a pen up there that they were doing some kind of project with deer. And so they needed food for these deer, and these apples would be just perfect.
Oh.
So they came down in their cars, and they loaded them up. They'd put them in gunny sacks, as I remember. And they loaded these things up. They had sacks and sacks of them because there were so many. Anyway, that was the experiment we knew about. But, of course, I don't think if there are deer there now, there wouldn't be very many.
Mm-hmm.
And bears, I haven't heard of a bear being up there. I've heard of, was it wolves?
Maybe coyotes.
Yeah, sure. Probably. And there used to be coyotes down where Squint Lake is now, where the golf course is there. It used to be there. And we used to see these things. They would come walking down Curtis. They were out roaming to see what they could find. And I know they used to come in our yard once in a while. And then there wasn't anything there to eat, so they would go back out, and then you'd see them go home again. But I must tell you about our cherry tree. One year, we had a big Lambert cherry tree. And these Lambert cherries were absolutely delicious. And this tree was absolutely loaded with green cherries. And one morning, my dad and mom were awakened by these pigeons. And they were just playing havoc outside the house. So my dad went out to see. And here, this tree was full of pigeons. And they were eating these green cherries. Not the ripe ones, the green ones. So, after however long they were there, they would go back home. They were homing pigeons. And somebody down on Union Street had these and let them out at that time in the morning, like 4 o'clock in the morning. And they would go wandering around, and then they'd go back home again. So that year, we really didn't have any cherries. But another year, I don't know if it was before or after, we had 400 pounds of cherries off that tree.
Oh, my.
It was It was marvelous.
When did your dad give up raising the chickens?
It was, my dad wasn't very well, and so he gave up in the early 50s. And I can remember him saying, you know, eggs were cheap, and the most he got for a dozen eggs was 33 cents. Mm. And I remember him saying that, gosh, if they ever get to 50 cents, we'll really have hit the jackpot. Well.
So he mainly gave up the farming because he wasn't feeling well.
Yes. Yeah.